Hodge can say just some, it's all, you know, there are a lot of different reminders in this parasha relating to the whole year. At the end of the parasha, what do we do at the end of the parasha? The parasha we have parasha Zohar. Likewise, also in this week's parasha, we also, because we did not say on Shiva de Nechemta, 2 weeks ago it was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we lay in the Haftarah Hashman Kisi. So we broke for the Haftarah of Shman Kisi. So therefore, this week, we're going to lay in a double Haftarah. We're going to lay in the Haftarah of this week, which is this week's Haftarah. I forgot how it starts. Ronia Karolo Yolada. I'm also going to lay in Aniyah Soyara, which is Loi Nuchama, the Haftarah from 2 weeks ago, but we really should have lain 2 weeks ago. So we're really connecting back to the 2 weeks ago. Now, Roni Akara is the Haftarah we just said of Parshas Noach. I just find it very interesting that this week's Parsha, you are touching Aniyah Soyara Loi Nuchama. Right, so that was two weeks ago, because correct, Rosh Chodesh was 2 weeks ago on Shabbos, so therefore we lay in Hashemayim Kisi, so we did not lay in the regular Haftarah. It's interesting that, you know, when you come to the end, there's a lot of chaos. When the end of the year comes, you always, in general, when you, let's say you're making plans for a wedding, for a simcha, for a dinner. So, you know, when you have a lot of time, you do one thing at a time. You know, you plan A, you plan B, and then when the date of the actual event comes, wait a minute, there's the chaos. You gotta do this, and there's just, everything comes together and it's almost chaotic. When the pressure of the last minute arrives and the autumn, and there all of a sudden there are changes in planning and scheduling, and you know, things are thrown at you, then you have to make changes and things happen. This week, we're coming out to the end of the year. We're coming to the end of the Torah. Here we are in Parashat Kisetse, and it's almost chaotic. First of all, the whole parasha, it's very interesting that the mitzvahs of the parasha, it vacillates. Every pasuk is another mitzvah. L'sachsam Sharmadisha. What does that have to do with anything? And then it says, Ki Yikore Kan Sipar. And then there's divorce. And there's Yibam. And there's Miriam. And there's Remember Amma. And it's almost like there's no pattern. It's you know, in the beginning of the Torah, there's
like everything that was left out before is
just thrown at you. You get in the beginning of the Torah, there's more of a calmness. Bereshis bara Elokim. There's an order. There is a calm. There's planning, and we come to the end of the Torah. The parasha itself, it shoots. It shoots at you, one mitzvah, another mitzvah. And what is the relationship? Rashi tries very hard to connect one to the other. On top of that, when you come to the Haftarah, okay, we're going to double up. We're going to double up now. Since 2 weeks ago, we didn't lain Aniyah Soyara Loi Nuchama. All right, let's double up. After we finish Rani Akara, we're going to do that Haftarah also. And by the way, Rani Akara, didn't we lain this once before? Ki Mei Noya Chayuli? It says to Ronekar, this is the same, exactly the same after that we lay in Parshas Noach. That's very rare. Why did Chazal want us to remember the Mabul on Parshas Kiseitse? You're going to war. Chazal have at their disposal many sections of Navi.
Rabbi, once said that the end of Bamidbar is really the end of the Torah. Mishnah Torah is left Chazara.
Right, so that, of course there are many new things. I mean, that's a different discussion. Why there are new things? Chumash Devarim, besides being Chazor, it's also Plan B. There are a lot of things in Parashas Devarim that are not ideal. For example, Yibam, divorce. In this week's Parashah, we have divorce and Yibam. This is not, divorce and Yibam would never happen in a perfect world.
B'dievet.
What? Like right, B'dievet. The Torah does not present the concept in the aftermath in Torah of divorce and the concept of yibum and the other, and also war, doesn't really present this in a mitzvah form, the way it's presented in Chumash Devarim, because in a perfect world, there are no wars, there's no divorce, there's no death, where people die without children. Chumash Devarim is dealing with the world of reality. It's dealing with, we have to recognize that unfortunately the world is not a perfect world because we are not deserving, and therefore things happen, and everything that happens in the imperfect world, the Torah deals with. Don't think Chas V'Shalom, the Torah that leaves out anything in this world. Every situation, whether we understand it or not, is dealt with, and even will be, that's a separate concept. Fine. But over here...
The Torahs of the Zion in the Chemtel are not padded after Be'ein HaTorah. Me'ein HaParsha.
The Avudra I'm referring to.
According to everybody. The Zion in the Chemtel, right. The Torahs do not go, in the word by Parsha Noach, it's Be'ein HaParsha. But here, it's Mayain.
So he's saying there are two dinim in this Haftarah. Right. The din of Rani Akara is a very interesting. It's a very interesting concept. But you have to. It's not. What you're saying is true, 100%. Yeah, but there is also the fact that they selected this nechama.
To clarify what's going on.
Absolutely. So I just want to point out that it's you get a sense of almost like.
Because we're not saying because of Be'en HaParsha, you know, which has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
We're doing it because of the union of Nechama.
I'm just trying to say a very simple idea as a Hakdama. You get a sense that Torah is warning us, you know, the year is coming to an end. Chaperein, time is running out. When you get the Parshas Ki Tse'itzei, you get this sense, time is up. Your time is up. We're now filling in all of the loose ends. The ikvus of the Mashiach.
I get that feeling also, you know, where in which of the parsha? In Mishpatim. You know, they thought, what if the.
True, but Mishpatim, there's more. Right. True, and Shmini also. It throws at you a lot of things, but still in Parshas Mishpatim, there is still a sense of. Of calmness to a much greater degree and order.
And it's mostly momentous.
There are Parashas Ki Tse'itzei, you get a sense, and I think it's by design. Time is up. Ikvus of the Mashiach, the world spins much faster. We all appreciate that what happens now in 1 year, it took years ago 20 years to happen, and go back further. Further, where you know communication, what goes on took 400 years today takes 1 year, and it's not just in time; it's in the Torah. The Torah is a blueprint for creation, and we travel through the Torah, and we get to the end of the Torah, especially this time of the Parshas Ki Tse'itzei. You get this sense: everything has to be accounted for. And everything has to be done. There is a coming together of all the loose ends have to now be filled in very quickly. Chaperein, because time, and that creates in a person almost a panic. If now we're chapering around every last mitzvah has to be accounted for, and we have to double up on the haftaras, and we're remember the highlights of the year. The highlights of the year, Zohar, Esa, Sha'os. Who doesn't think about Purim when they come to the Haftorah and they read it twice? They read the Shvi, and then they read Maftir. They say Zohar twice. This is one of the most essential mitzvahs in the Purim. And then you read the Haftorah. Does not sound familiar? Rani Akar Lo Yolada. It takes you back to Parshas Noach. There is a sense of things are happening. There's accountability, there is a chazara, there is an intensity, and that intensity it is to our advantage to take advantage of it, that we in our personal lives, as you come to the Yimei Hadin, hold ourselves accountable and take inventory of what have we not done, what in our life is lacking and missing that has to be accounted for before we come to the Yimei Hadin. This intensity in the Torah, in Parashas Ki Tse'itzei, and everything related to it, has an effect on a person's neshama. You know, time is running out. It's the Yimei Hadin. All right, that's a short introduction. I want to tell you now, Avar, the beginning of the Parasha, with a story. My favorite Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein story. I told you this story before, but I really, really fits perfectly into the beginning of the Parasha. Parasha begins with Eishes Yifas Toyer. Man goes to work, he says, Salam Chamo Vecha, or Re'itza, and he sees... and you take captives. Look at that, you take captives. You take the captives, you're going to use them as slaves, you're going to use them for whatever whatever purpose. And lo and behold, v'ro'isa b'shivya eishes yifas toyar, a beautiful woman. V'choshakto vo, have a desire for her, v'lokachto l'chol isha, and you want to take her as a wife. So the Torah goes through a whole process. How can you marry this woman? She's a non-Jewish woman. How could you marry her? So Rashi says, you're right, you really can't marry her. It's really me'ikar hadin. It's not a good thing to do. Really, it should be forbidden. However, what does Rashi say? V'shavisa eishes. Rashi goes on to say over here, loy dibra toira ella kineged yetzer hara. She'im ein hakadosh baruch hu matira yiso'ena bi'iser. Powerful words. That really, if Hashem would not permit you to marry this woman, the end will be you'll anyway marry her. Yiso'ena bi'isur. So therefore,
it's a compromise.
I don't say a compromise.
I think so.
How can you, a compromise is a pretty scary word. It's aval im nasa. Yeah.
Recording in progress.
I lost everyone for a second. Yeah.
I mean, in this case, we understand that. We understand what happens in wartime.
Yeah.
And so, somebody, it's like, okay, like slavery, for example.
Yeah.
There's so many restrictions.
Okay, but still, the Pasuk says.
But that was universal practice. Here again, you have something that's universal, and okay, you can do it, but. Put so many barriers
in front of
you that it'll be extremely rare.
Okay, so how you want to nuance it, fine, but Rashi does say these words.
Just on that comment there, just like I mentioned.
Okay, I know. Nothing I can do now. I know.
Okay, on one level.
Yeah.
On one level, aim with over soap. And once you say, if you don't do it, the you do it for yourself.
Okay.
On the other hand, similar to maybe what Rabbi was saying, this role Kodesh Baruch Hu is not, it doesn't go against a person. I forget what the question is. Roli Padator, Yosef Midai. He doesn't push the things that people are not able to not able to handle.
Right.
He doesn't come to Taronya. A lot of, that a person can't handle.
Okay, and a chanami.
This is something he understands the person can't handle. And therefore, there's this concession, compromise.
Exactly. Loi dibra Torah. Everything he's saying is rooted in Rashi. Loi dibra Torah ella keneged yetzahara she'im ein hakadosh baruch. It's almost like we're holding Hashem hostage. Shem ein hakadosh baruch hu matira. If Hashem will not permit this woman, yiso'ena be'iser, this man, this soldier, will marry this woman, be Isser.
Right, it's beyond.
Okay.
Now,
unbelievable. Now let's go. However, there's an exception. Here's the point I want to make. The parasha begins though. The very first words of the Rashi are Ki seitzei la mulchama bil mulchemes harishus hakosev medaber. This whole situation of everything there of Mordechai just said and Rav Michal said is only true in the Milchemes Rishus. In other words, you don't have to fight this battle. There's no mitzvah. Hashem never told you to conquer this territory. This territory is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Whatever the situation is, it's a Milchemes Rishus. So why are you going out to battle? It's good. We wanted to expand, and we want a little buffer zone in Eretz Yisrael. We want this. Whatever the reasons are, if it's good for the economy, stimulate the economy, we'll go to war. Okay, we want to go do this. Milchemes Rishus. And then what happens? You win, you succeed, you conquer, and here you find among the captives an Eishes Yifaster. Oh, I want to marry her. Hashem, I'm holding you hostage. If you don't let me marry her, I'll marry her anyway. Wait, hold on here. B'milchemes Rishus. What would have been if this would have been Milchemes Mitzvah? Milchemes Mitzvah. You wipe them out. The whole situation doesn't exist. The whole situation only exists in Milchemes Rishus. If this is a Milchemes Mitzvah, then what do you mean? You're not going to find an Eishes Yifas Toyer among the captives? Here, Rabbi said, please, let me say my piece. If this would have been a Mulchemes Mitzvah, Rav Dov, if this would have been a Mulchemes Mitzvah, you're not going to see on the battlefield the beautiful woman? You're not going to have the same problem? You have the same problem. So how come this whole story is only presented in the Mulchemes Rishos?
Because in the Mulchemes Mitzvah, you kill everybody.
So until you kill them, you round them up, you conquer them. You don't just kill them in 1 second. It takes time to kill them. You have to round them up. You have to kill them in an organized way. And in the process of going and conquering, you're not going to come across an Esh Yifas Tayar. And you're not going to go marry her. And you're going to say to Hashem, Hashem, I'm holding you hostage.
It's crowd control. You've got to hold
wait.
There, you
know? Why is this halacha only question? Why is this halacha only presented in Mulchemes Rishos? In Mulchemes Rishos,
you can take back captives.
But you're not allowed to marry a non-Jew. You're not allowed to marry a shiksa.
But that's the difference.
And the Mulchemes, it's just another Avera. In the Mulchemes Mitzvah, you're not allowed to take back captives. But she's a beautiful woman. Hashem, if you don't let me take her back. No, they don't just.
The crowd control.
I hear what you're saying, but history has proven us otherwise.
If you make that exception by Mulchemes Mitzvah, then. Unfortunately, what might end up happening, you won't accomplish the goal of that Mulchemes Mitzvah. You see that with a mullet, right?
It's not a matter of the goal, it's a matter of halacha. Okay. Let's understand. This, Rashi just said that it's awesome. Let me answer. Rashi made it very clear. You're going to Mulchemes Rishos, you come. I accept all the criticism, but let me just present the question the way, and then we'll discuss it. Are you going out to a Mulchemes Rishos? There are captives. You find there, you're allowed to let them live. You're allowed to take them home. They can be nannies, and they can do all the kitchen work, and they can do whatever you want with them. But they're goyim. She's a shiksa. It's the worst thing in the world for a Jewish boy to marry a shiksa. The children are not Jewish. Rahman al-Islam, a man marries a shiksa, the parents sit shiva. It's the worst thing in the world. It's usser. This is the worst thing. And yet, the Torah says, the person says, Hashem, I'm holding you hostage. If you don't let me marry her, I'll marry her anyway. So let me say my piece. So Hashem says, okay, you know what? You want to marry her? I'll let you marry her. Let's say it's a Mulchemes Mitzvah. So what are you supposed to do in a Mulchemes Mitzvah? You're supposed to kill them. You're not supposed to take them home and they should work. They should work in a store or some whatever. You're supposed to kill them. So you're going to tell me that it doesn't happen on the battlefield? Go study history. Go study war. There are books and books and stories and movies about people who go to war. A Mulchemes Mitzvah, wars that we would call a Mulchemes Mitzvah, where countries go to eradicate and to obliterate, and the orders given by the general is kill every living creature that you find. And a person goes into the battlefield and he sees a beautiful woman, and he ends up saving her, marrying her, v'chulu v'chulu. You're going to tell me that it doesn't happen? It certainly happens.
Is only going to be by the Mulchemes Rishos, because there it's between, the problem is going to be between you and yourself marrying the shiksa. By the Mulchemes Mitzvah, when you don't fulfill the goal of the Mulchemes Mitzvah, it's not between you and yourself. It's you and Klal Yisrael.
So
there was a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael for everybody to eradicate.
So the person will say, I don't want to do this mitzvah. I don't want to do the Mulchemes Mitzvah. The law for this woman, the Yetzirah for this woman, will trump everything. It's about the Yetzirah.
But we can't make exceptions when it's going to affect Klal Yisrael versus, yes, both of them are equally desired.
We're not making exceptions. The person, the person's going to do it anyway. That's the key aside.
So if we relax a rule, the rule can only be relaxed in a case where it's between you and yourself. Not between you and the mitzvah that was the
Rashi makes it super duper clear that in the Mulchemes Rishos it is osur, me'ikar hadin, it is osur. It is forbidden. And here we're going to relax the rule. The same exact nisoyon will present itself at a Mulchemes Mitzvah. So there, we're not relaxing the rule. So what will happen? What will the result be? This man will marry her anyway. Correct. He'll marry her anyway. So the question is, so why did Hashem have Rachmanis upon him to let her, him marry her by a Mochemes Rishus and did not have Rachmanis upon this person? Why not?
Because it's a lot more severe by the Mochemes Mitzvah when it affects Klal
Yisrael
versus the Mochemes Rishus.
Okay, I accept your answer. I hear your answer. I want to say another answer. Okay? The answer you're saying to me is not, is it's personally is weak. The person here is going to do it anyway.
Do you what?
No, marry her.
See, that's the difference. See, for non-Jews, they don't talk about marrying. They're interested in violating. And so this idea of you have to choose whether you really want to marry her or not, that's purely a Torah concept. And the temptation...
There's a machlokes rishonim
occurs in a Mochemes Mitzvah as well, because what's going to happen? Well, you're going to kill them anyway, so you may as well. Okay, that's the temptation. But
you're talking about a violation.
I'm saying that the use of the term marriage is kind of a delicate way of saying what actually happens.
Wait. Wait a second. The Torah does say here that the love he has for this woman, the Torah does say over here that the intensity that he has for this woman is such that he wants to marry her. It's not just about violation. It's not just a one-time thing. The Torah says, that's a very intense word. He wants her so much, not just one time. He wants to marry her. That's what the Torah here, we're dealing with an intensity, a very, very great intensity where he wants to marry her.
So, just met her on the battlefield. Why should he want to marry her?
In love, and there are no rhyme and reason. This is his soulmate. His soulmate. You know, this is Ma'aseh Bechol Yom. You never watched a movie? You never saw a good movie? Okay, a good television show. The Mitzias is the person's going to war. He sees this woman. We're dealing with a unique circumstance. So let's limit it to this unique circumstance. He goes to war. He comes across a woman. Whatever the situation is, he has a desire to marry this woman. And Rashi says he's going to do it anyway. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Religion out the door. Take everything he learned in yeshiva out the door. Rashi says, he's at the end of the day, this man meets this woman, has dealings with her in war. He's going to marry her. He doesn't care. Hashem says, mutar asa. The end is he's going to do it. Ma'aseh b'chol yom. Mamish ma'aseh b'chol yom. Okay, not necessarily in war, but in the workplace, in society, among the guys. There's not an 80% intermarriage rate in America for nothing. The Yetzirah is very, very powerful. He's at war, he sees this woman, he has some dealings with her, I'm going to marry her, I don't care what we learned in yeshiva. I don't care what we learned in yeshiva, I'm going to marry her. So now the dilemma is Hashem going to say, I'm going to come to the wedding, or I'm not going to come to the wedding? So if it's a Milchemes Rishus, Hashem says, I'll come to the wedding. And if it's a Milchemes Mitzvah, you want to marry her, I'm not coming to your wedding, because my question to you is, why is Hashem going to come to the wedding if he meets her and decides he's going to marry her, whether you like it or not, when it's a Mochemes Rishus, but now when it's a Mochemes Mitzvah? So if Dov is trying to nuance that because the Choymer Hadover of Mochemes Mitzvah, it's Klal Yisrael, this is very Brisk Alumnus, you say. Okay, if you want to go with the Brisk Alumnus that it's the Klal Yisrael and the Aver is so much greater, so... He's marrying her in anyway. Rashi makes it clear, I'm going to marry her whether you, Hashem, like it or not. There is no difference between Milchemes Rishus, Milchemes Mitzvah. Yours, is Hashem going to come to the wedding? You're being Mechalik, 100%. Oh, good. I want to suggest you another answer based on a very popular, powerful story about Rabbi Zecharia Wallerstein. I told you the story once in the shir before. It made a very powerful roshim on me. Or Zecharia Wallerstein, he made upstate somewhere, I think some they call it the farm.
Right.
He built, or the, yeah. The ranch. The ranch is called the ranch? The ranch. Okay, he built this thing called the ranch. And it's a technique that he has that girls who are special needs, certain types of people need certain types of things. And he did something very novel. And he had this idea, and he needed to implement this idea in an enormous amount of money. And the donors were not so crazy about giving him the money. And he needed to get some chizuk, some encouragement. Is it a good idea? Is it not a good idea? And he firmly believed that this would be extremely beneficial to the people that he deals with, that he helps, that he does with them tremendous chesed. He went to Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he asked Rav Steinman, and he said to Rav Steinman, I want to raise money to build a ranch. We'll call it just a ranch, upstate. I believe that this will be a very great benefit to Klal Yisrael. I feel this is what we need. I know this is going to work. I have experience with these girls. I know this and I know that. Should I do it? Rav Steinman told him, no. No, no, no. Absolutely not. Goodbye. He walked out of the room shocked. He told him in the strongest terms, no. And he couldn't believe it. Mamash couldn't believe it. Went back to America, continued doing his Avodas HaKodesh. A year passed, and he was very disappointed. Let me go back and try again. He went back a year later to Rav Steinman in the same place, the same conditions, and he said to Rav Steinman, the girls, they need this.
Yes, yes, yes.
Klal Yisrael needs this. The Kehillah needs this. The Tzibur needs this. Should I do it? Should the money be raised? This is all subconscious, just talking. Rav Steinman says, absolutely. My bracha to you to succeed be matzliach. He was in shock. He called him, Masava. A year ago he said no, so he asked him. But a year ago you told me, loy mitzvah aleph. So he says, I remember the conversation, every word of the conversation last year. In the conversation last year you said the word I 10 times. I want to build a ranch. I believe this is in the best interest of the girls. I want to do this. I know this is going to be successful. I feel this is the right thing to do. Today you said to me, the girls, they need it. Their parents need it. Klal Yisrael needs it. This is in the best interest of the Kehillah, of Klal Yisrael. You didn't say the word I. You kept on talking about the girls. That's the difference. Last year, it was all about you. You want to make a legacy for yourself. You want kavod. I. Gaiva, this is the famous thing of Steinman. He was a kavod, gaiva detector. Like they have these meters. Can we go measure pollution? He was a living gaiva detector. I detected in your words gaiva. It was all about you and your legacy. This year you came back humble. And the way you spoke wasn't about you. It was about someone else. It was about Klal Yisrael. That's a big difference. Now you can have Siyata Deshmaya. Last year, if you would have done it, you would not have been successful. It would have been a disaster because it was all about you. It wasn't about Klal Yisrael. Doing something about your personal gain, selfishness, you're not going to be matzliach. Now it's about Klal Yisrael. You're going to be matzliach. Back to our question. This man goes to battle. Different types of battles. War is war. It makes a difference. Is it Melchemes Rishus? That's a Negei of the Melech, the general. Why does the commander-in-chief order the troops to go to battle? It's none of your business. A soldier does what he's told to do. A soldier, you pledge your allegiance to the general. You don't understand why that's a whole big issue. When soldiers, they disobey direct orders because they disagree with the goal of the war. Who are you to disagree? You're a soldier. Being a soldier means that you humble yourself to your commander. If you're a commander, you follow orders. If the commander-in-chief, it is his opinion that this battle must be fought, it's none of your business to go. There's a battle taking place. Do you know why the battle is taking place? Is it the Melchemes Rishus, Melchemes Mitzvah? Follow orders. You follow orders. I mean, obviously, there's a Melchemes, but there's a battle. A battle is a battle. The technique of battle, the art of war, is the same, whether it's Melchemes Rishus, you have weapons, you have techniques, and you have planning and strategy to fight a battle. A man in the battle is going to see a beautiful woman. In a Melchemes Rishus, in both battles, the man is, without a question, going to marry her. He sees a beautiful woman, he has a Yetzirah, I'm marrying her, I don't care. He's going to marry her to Mulchemes Rishus and Mulchemes Mitzvah. Only by a Mulchemes Mitzvah Rishus does the Torah say, okay, it's okay, I'll come to your wedding. Now, what's the difference? The difference is the story of Zachariah Wallerstein. A Mulchemes Rishus, the Etzem, is a selfish battle. Why are you fighting this battle? You have nothing better to do. You have nothing better to do? Go sit and learn. Go get another job. No, it's good for us. It's good for Klal Yisrael. You cannot deny the term is called Rishus. Rashi's first words of the parasha. Rashi, B'Mulchemes HaRishus HaKosav Medaber. The Torah never told you to do this. There's no, this mitzvah does not fit into one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Why are you doing it then? Well, there are a lot of things you do in life because it's a good idea. Strategy, parnasa. You got to think, Ezeh Chochma Yesanaylad. Is it a mitzvah? No, I can't tell you it's a mitzvah. It's a rishus. It's a rishus. You're gonna have nisyonos. You're gonna have a situation v'ru'isa yifas toyar v'choshaktova, and you're gonna want ulakachta l'chol isha. But if this was a milchemes mitzvah, I'm suggesting to you, you would never have the nisyon. It wouldn't be an issue. Rav Steinman said, you're coming to me, you want to go build a ranch, I. It's not about Hashem. Not about Hashem. It's a Mulchemes Rishus. You want a legacy for yourself. You want covet. You want to go and have a big name. You did something. I. It's a Mulchemes Rishus. A Mulchemes Rishus. You want to go be Matriach Klal Yisrael to give you money to go to the ghost of Mulchemes Rishus. You can have a lot of problems. When you came back to me the second year, it's not a Mulchemes Rishus. This is a Mulchemes Mitzvah. You presented the situation in an entirely different light. You're dealing now with a Mulchemes Mitzvah. There are people who are in a matzav of tzara, and they need help, and this is the solution. A Mulchemes Mitzvah? You'll have success. You're not going to have problems. It's a whole different war. This whole Hechatimsa. It's not like I presented, you're going to see a beautiful woman, both a Mulchemes Rishos and a Mulchemes Mitzvah. The only difference, and you're going to marry her no matter what, the only question is, will Hashem come to your wedding? No, that is fundamentally wrong. In the Mulchemes Mitzvah, you'll never see her. You may physically see her, you'll never have the Yetzahara of the Choshak Tovah V'Lokachta L'Chol Isha, because you're in a different frame of mind. If I'm fighting this battle to be Mekayim, the Ritzoyin Hashem, your mind is in a different place. I don't see this woman. She may be right in front of me. She may be just as attractive as she was in the Mulchemes Rishus, but I'm in a different place. I'm in a different frame of mind. I'm coming to you with Klal Yisrael needs this solution. When you go to a Mulchemes Rishus, what is this about? Which one of the Taryag Mitzvahs are you Mekayim right now? None. You go to a store. What would you like for lunch? Would you like a pizza or a falafel? Is this a mitzvah? It's a Rishus. You decide. What do you enjoy better? What do you enjoy better? You're allowed to. No one's stopped. The Torah permits you 100%, but you're in a different... You eat matzah. Lel Pesach. Now we're eating matzah. We're eating matzah. Matzah. You're in a different... You want to have machine matzah or hand matzah. But it's matzah. Lel Pesach. Achilas matzah deraisa. The only achila that's deraisa. Go into a pizza store in Hanukkah time. Do you want to have a donut that has a hole in the middle, or a donut that has custard in the middle?
Jelly
in the middle. So this is a rishus. You're in a different frame of mind. You're in a different place. It's an entirely different battle. Rashi says, "Bimulchemes harishus akosim medaber." That is why the whole story begins. V'ro'isa. Eishes, you see among the captives, you see Eishes Yifas Toyar. How does it happen that you even see her? It's only because it's a Mulchemes Rishos. If this was a Mulchemes Mitzvah, She can be standing right in front of you. It would never happen, v'ro'isa ba'shivya eishas yifas toyar, because you're in a different frame of mind. The Musa Haskell is, how do you live your life? There are many, you can live a life, you know, you do what you want to do. I do whatever I want to do. Once in a while, you know, I'll give Hashem a little token. I'll throw him a bone. I'll do a mitzvah l'shem shamayim. I live a life of rishus. I'll daven here. I'll shake lulav here. I'll give a few minutes of my time to go do a mitzvah kadosh baruch. You're in a different place. Every moment of the day you encounter situations. V'ra'isa eishes yifas toyar. V'choshak tova. V'lokachta l'chol l'isha. And the Torah says, from that's going to come grois etzaris. But if you live a life of mitzvah, if you live a life where everything in life is an opportunity to do a mitzvah, everything you do, you're just walking the streets looking for opportunities to do mitzvah, you'll never see the eishes yifas toyar v'lokachta l'chol l'isha. The nisyonos don't even exist. It's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of the frame of mind. The frame of mind is what creates the reality. If you're going to even see the very HSC fast toya. Avdov, it's a different type of answer, I'm saying. You hear the word?
How does it answer your question?
Why? The answer is that the premise is wrong. The answer shows that it's not just an answer. The premise, you don't even see it. You don't even, the whole premise was that you go to a Milchames Rishos, you see a beautiful woman. You go to Milchames Mitzvah, you see a beautiful woman. And the Torah says, I'm going to marry her no matter what. The only difference is, by the Milchames Rishos, Hashem's okay, you can marry her. By the Milchames Mitzvah, you're going to marry her, but I'm not coming to your wedding. I'm coming to answer, you're not going to even see her. In a Milchames Mitzvah, you're not going to even see this woman. Why are you not going to see? Because you're in a different frame of mind. The premise, I'm trying to answer the question with an answer. The answer Rav Dov's answer is a briska answer. You're going to see her. You're going to want to marry her, and you're going to marry her. And Hashem says, on your credit card, on your credit score, you get an Avera, because Klal Yisrael, like the Aguda Convention, this is Klal Yisrael. Okay, there's Reb Yisrael and there's Rav Yisrael. You're gonna get on your credit score, on your record, Avera. You're gonna marry her, you're gonna see her, you're gonna marry her both in the Milchemes Rishus and the Milchemes Mitzvah. It's just that in the Milchemes Mitzvah, you're gonna go to Gehenna. Zehu. I'm trying to tell you that in the Milchemes Mitzvah, you're not gonna see her. What do you mean you're not going to see her? She's standing right in front of you. She's right in front of you. She's all over the place. Not just her, many of them. You don't see her. Because if you are really engaging in the Milchemes Mitzvah, for real, you're really going to battle only because Hashem told you to go to battle, because this is a Milchemes Mitzvah, whatever those conditions are to make this the Milchemes Mitzvah, you're not going to even see her on the street. What do you mean you're not going to see her? She's right in front of you. I didn't even realize that's a woman to me. It looked like a ladder. It looked like I went to a wedding and they were dancing around a ladder. They were dancing around a ladder. No, the photographer has the ladder. So some of the guys, they got very excited. They started dancing around the ladder. And there was a woman there. I was standing near the ladies section, and she was looking at these boys dancing around the ladder, and she made some comments that I cannot repeat here. Use your imagination.
There's too much alcohol. Anything good about a club?
Okay, so this is the case. So Dove's answer is trying to suggest you're going to see her. It's just, you'll go to Gehenna, because mitzvah is a different league. But I'm trying to answer. The Torah made it mutar. The Torah, but you're going to marry her no matter what. The Rashi says the Torah, you're going to marry no matter what. She'im ein hakadosh baruch hu matira before the heter. She'im ein hakadosh baruch hu matira yisoena be'isur. You will marry her. Rashi says this.
I've heard of
Beferish. If Hashem, you're holding Hashem hostage. Hashem, if you do not let me marry her, I'll marry her anyway. Rashi here is presenting a reality. A man goes to war, he sees a beautiful woman, the reality is he will marry her. He's not going to Shem Mitzvah. He's not going to Shem Mitzvah. He's going to Shem his own personal needs. Not necessarily. There's a different sugya. Different
angle on this second point. When you go out to Milchemet with the, what you're fighting with, when you're going out to Milchemet Rishus, in a way, you're going not to kill everybody. You're going, you'll capture people, you'll bring people back. When you go to Milchemet Mitzvah, again, what you were saying, you're not seeing them because you don't see human beings anymore. You have to kill everybody.
No, I'm not saying that. I am not saying that. No, no, no. I don't want to come on to that. Because I don't believe that's necessarily true. It doesn't make a difference. When you go to war, the art of war, whether at the end you're going
to
keep...
No. I do not have to be concerned about collateral damage.
I don't know. I don't think so. When you go to war, you go to kill. War is a war. I there are different types of wars, but I don't think that's that point is necessarily correct. When you go to war, the technique of war is exactly the same, whether it's Rishus. I think it's a fair thing to say. You want to go.
I think it's different.
The aftermath of the war is certainly
going to
be different.
If I'm going in to capture.
Who says? Who says? Who says? Who says?
The general.
Who says?
The Israeli army. Every time they got to go do something,
no.
We got to be worried.
War is war. When you go to war, they want to kill you. You're coming to. You're splitting hairs. A war is a war. When you go to war, the art, the technique, the strategy is exactly the same. The only question is, why are you fighting the war to begin with? I understand, when America goes, they fight wars. There are some wars that are very important. There are some wars that are just for fun. What, they fight differently. A war is a war. When you go into the battlefield, your enemy wants to kill you, whether you like, whatever your reasons are. So you have to defend yourself. War is war. When you go to war, the art, technique, strategy is exactly the same. The only question is, so you're going to see the woman no matter what. And Rashi makes it very clear, when you see her, you're going to marry her. By Rishus, when it comes to Mohammed Rishus, what's going to happen? When it comes to Mohammed, the internet keeps on going out over here. When it comes to Mohammed Rishus, you are going, the end is going to be, you're going to, you can, both of you are. By Mohammed Rishus, Hashem permits you to marry her. By Mohammed Mitzvah, you're going to marry her. It's just that you're going to be marrying her by Isser. What's the difference? So you're giving these chilukim. You're right. I want to tell you a whole different mahalich. The whole question doesn't begin. If you're really fighting the Mohammed L'shem Mitzvah, this is the story with Rav Steinman. You're in a different frame of mind. You're in a different place. You're not going to see her. She's going to be in front of you. All right, enough said on this topic. I want to go to the end of the topic, discuss something a little more graphic. This part is, you're not a boy, you'll be able to repeat at home, but I want to tell you this one. This always, to me, is the most bizarre part of the entire Torah. But yet, there's incredible chokhmah in this. Two men are fighting, and the two men are punching each other, right? And their wives are watching them kill each other. And one of the wives wants to save her husband. So what does she do? It says, she grabs him bimivushav. We're not going to translate any of these words here. Okay? Vechzika bimivushav kidei in order. It says over here, v'sholcho yodo. She sends forth her hand, vechzika. She grabs the opponent. She's a good wife. She's a good wife. She wants to save her husband. So the only way she goes and shvechzika bimivushav of the man that's hitting her husband. So what does the Torah say? Why did you do that? You could have went and done stopped him from hitting your husband in other ways. Vikatsoiso eskapo, cut off her hand. And Rashi says it doesn't mean cut off her hand. It means she has to pay money for busha. Lo sochois enech, have no compassion upon her. Now, first of all, it's been proven over and over again that in war, you shoot when someone is dangerous, you don't try to aim for their arm or leg. You shoot to kill, and this has been proven 1,000 times over that if you try to shoot a person their arm or their leg, they'll end up killing you.
Right.
When
like police.
police. When the police are trained, and the media today, because everything is recorded, on film, so people go berserk, where someone is very dangerous, holding a knife, and they come launch stabbing at you. They come at you with a weapon. So the police officer shoots to kill. They're trained that when they have
just immobilize it.
When they have permission, when it's a lethal, so you are instructed, you are trained to shoot to kill. So they always say, why do you have to kill him? Why can't you shoot him in the arm? Why can't you shoot him in the foot? So they roll out all the videos where people try to do that.
That's all said by people who don't know how to shoot.
So they go and they take out, and they show that when you try to shoot the guy in the arm, the end is the guy kills the officer, kills the policeman. So they shoot to kill. So over here, this is very interesting over here, b'chlal, over here, that conversation we just had, how do you understand this in this situation over here? Two men are fighting, and this woman over here sees that her husband is losing the battle. So what does she do? She goes, v'chzika b'mevushaf. And over here, the Torah says, that was not a good idea. You should have incapacitated the man that's trying to hurt your husband in another way. Really? If this technique works, so what's the problem? What's going on? I don't know. That's a separate conversation, which I don't want to get into that. Now, what's going on over here? What is going on over here? Well, the Torah has to tell us this. This is a very modern zach over here. This is a very, very bizarre, bizarre thing over here, this whole story. So first of all, understand this story over here. You have to appreciate that this story over here is juxtaposed to the story of Yibam. Comes right after the story of Yibam. And Yishol Rashi throughout the entire parasha, in probably maybe even more so than any other parasha, Rashi desperately tries to understand the smichus apsukim, to understand the juxtaposition of why is this pasuk connected to this pasuk, what is the hemshech hadvar. He does it in the entire parasha, again, probably take analysis in this parasha more so than any other parasha. What is the connection between pasuk A, pasuk B, this mitzvah, that mitzvah? It seems like it's just someone threw on the table a whole bunch of halachas and stitched them together. What's the shaychus? He shows the shaychus. The parasha before this is Yibam. A man dies, has no children. His wife wants to Yibam. So she says, no, let's get married. Rebuild my husband's home. Rebuild your brother's home by marrying me. Have children. You'll name the baby after my husband. He says to her, no, I don't like you. You're not attractive enough. Really? Bezdin calls him in, and they ask him, the Karl Zikni Ishtar, and he says to the Bezdin, Loicha fatzti lekachta. I don't want to marry her. I don't care about my brother. I don't care. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. Your brother's dead, has no children, you have an opportunity, and you don't want to go do anything. What a chutzpah. What a disgrace. Meikar Hadid, today we don't do it anyway, but what? That's what a disgrace. So they call the woman, they say, Yitaka right. We try to knock some sense into his thick head, and he doesn't want to marry you. All right, let's do the procedure. She comes, she spits at him. Mevaza him. She takes off his shoes. Taking off someone's shoes means you kill him. Because shoes, she'asa li kol tzarki, shoes represent a person's everything. Everything about a person is without shoes you have nothing. A person should sell everything that he owns to buy a good pair of shoes. So the woman takes off his shoes, she spits at him. She's mamish mevazehim the groisa bizyonis. Can't get better than that, right? And they announce, kocha yose lo ish asher lo yivne es beis achiv. The karshmo bishol beis chalutz hanual. She lays it on as thick as it can get. Mevazehim betachlitz habizyonis. To a man that doesn't want to rebuild his brother's house in this matzav. You know, that's a tremendous chiddush. The Torah is not really so pro-woman. Get into a lot of trouble saying that. Right, Torah always says to a woman, you know, stay home, stay in the kitchen. I don't mean chas v'shalom, but the fact the Torah, kol kivuda bas melech penima. It's uncharacteristic of the Torah to give this woman such enormous power to disgrace, humiliate a person to such a degree. There's the famous story with there was a city of women, of only women, women warriors, and they met. Who did they defeat? They defeated Alexander the Great.
Yes.
Alexander the Great. This there was a country. The story is there was a country that goes back to the time of Peleg. This civilization goes back to the time of after the Babel. There was a country that men, and all the men went to battle, they were killed. And they left home their wives and their daughters. So the wives and daughters says, they're gonna come for us. So they took the weapons of their husband, their dead husbands, and they got dressed in the weapons and they became warriors. And they became a nation of women. How did they reproduce? I don't know. How did they reproduce? They became a country of only female, a country of female. Everything was it was a country of females. The men were just I don't know how they reproduced. Whatever it was, and they existed for how many years? From the time of Peleg, you're dealing over 2-3,000 years. I don't know the numbers. Until Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great conquered the entire world. Right. Alexander the Great came to this country and he met with them and he says, I'm going to kill you all. I'm going to conquer you all. So they said, no, you're not. Manavshach, if you kill us all, you're going to have a very, in today's woke society, they're going to say, look what the man did to a woman. A man killed a woman. How dare you? It's not fair. They're going to say, you're a tyrant. You're a monster. You went and you killed women and children. They're going to say you're a Russia Marusha. It's not going to go off well in the media on CNN when they read that a white male, a self-hating white male killed women. Killed a tribe of women. This is not going to go off well in the media. So, and what's the other alternative? We'll kill you. We'll go to battle. We're good. We're a match. So then it'll be a bigger disgrace. Alexander the Great was wiped out by women. A bunch of women went and defeated women, these weak, schwache women, they wiped out Alexander the Great's army. So Manavshach, you're gonna lose no matter what. Either if you win, you lose, and if you lose, you lose. So Alexander the Great said, you're right, you're right. Have a nice day. He said, but the Medrash ends off, let's eat bread. That's very strange, end of the night. Let's have dinner. Let's sit down to at least give me a good meal. Unbelievable, right? So women, you see from that story, you know, women in a different category. So over here, this woman, we say, you know, this man, he's not behaving. He should rebuild the bias of his brother. He doesn't want to do so. He needs to be put in this place. So we say, you know, why him? Bezdin should be mevazeh him. Let the Bezdin be mevazeh him. Let the Bezdin take off his shoes and spit at him. Let the Bezdin put up big signs and be mevazeh him. I learned the Gemara yesterday, the most bizarre Gemara I ever learned the whole Shas, yesterday's Daf Yomi, is a Meredes, a woman who rebels against her husband. She doesn't want to have intimacy with her husband. So according to one opinion in the Gemara, every Shabbos in Shul, they make an announcement. They make an announcement, this woman is a Meredes. So if you want to fill up the shul today, if your shul needs more members, you should reenact this takana. Everyone will come to shul to hear the latest woman in the community who is a Meredes. The shul will be packed. When they make an announcement in Shul Erev Shabbos, we want everyone to know that in the community, this woman is a Meredes. That's what it says in the Gemara. As bizarre as can be, right? That's what it says according to one opinion. So we give this woman enormous, enormous power to put this man in place, to be mivazeh him. We have to appreciate spitting is the ultimate bizyonis. It says in the Torah, v'yaviyah by Miriam, v'yaviyah, yorek yorak b'foneha, halosi kolem shivas yomim. If Miriam, if a father would spit at his daughter in public, the daughter wouldn't come out of her house for 7 days. You see, the Torah says explicitly, when the Torah talks about bizyonis, the Torah explicitly says that the greatest form of bizyonis is spitting at a person. And here this woman spits at him in front of court, in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. and then takes off his shoes. The shoes that he sold, every item that he owns, his possessions, his most precious possessions, to buy a pair of shoes, she takes away from him. She'asa li kol tzarki. Everything that I own, she takes off his shoes. And they do this in public, and they put a big title, V'kara shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutz hanoah. So you know what happens when a woman does all these things? She gets a little carried away with herself, as a man would. V'yishmun yishurun v'yivot. When a woman, you give a woman such power to go and put in place a man and spit on him and step on him, you see that? You see who I am? So now you go to the very next parasha. Ki yinotsu anoshim yachtov. Two men are fighting. And there's a woman there, and she wants to save her husband. Who is that woman? Who is that woman who wants to save her husband? I want to suggest to you, it's the Yavama. The Yavama who did Khalid. It's juxtaposed. Every time it says Ahu Saba, it's always the same person, right? It's Ahu Saba, it's always a Leo Hanavi. In the Torah, it's the same woman. This is the woman who was the Yavama, who spit at her brother-in-law, and who did spit. She married someone else. Unless you do Chalitza. So now the brother-in-law, she spit at her brother-in-law, she's now a free agent, and she marries a gvir. And now, her husband, who she married, is under attack. Oh, my husband is under attack. My husband? I remember last week when there was a man who didn't treat me with respect. What did I do to him? Bezdin told me to come and spit on him. and put him in his place. I'm the balabas here. My husband, my new husband, who I now married, is under attack. Let me go to his opponent and run a dirty campaign. Vehechazika, let's not translate it literally. Let's be homiletic, like politics. There are two different ways you can promote yourself in the world of politics: a clean campaign or a dirty campaign. A clean campaign, you're a dignified person, and you get up in a debate and you tell the country, this is what I have to offer. I want to be your leader. I want to be your senator, your president. These are my ideas. I believe these policies that I wish to implement will be for the benefit of this country. That's approach number one. Then approach number two is, I have nothing to offer you people. I just want power and honor. And the way I'm going to get this is by exposing all of the crimes and sins and dirt of my opponent. I'm going to create dirty ads telling you all of his private averos, telling you about his children, the bunch of lowlifes, and all of his averos. I have nothing to offer you either. My record is empty, worse than empty. It's damaging. I don't care. I want to be in a position of power because I like power, I like covet, I like money, I can do things. And this guy is in my way. I have nothing to present to you, good, but I'll just expose all of this dirt in very creative, a dirty campaign. This woman may entertain the possibility that her husband now has an opponent, and there's another man trying to hurt her husband. She will take advantage. She will learn the lessons of what Bezdin told her to do last time around, to be mivazeh, her opponent, the man that doesn't want to marry her, and she'll go v'hechazika. She will take hold of her husband's opponent by exposing his dirty laundry. Bimivushav. The Torah says to this woman, don't you dare. Don't you dare. You don't run a dirty campaign. Vikatsoiso eskapo. Cut off her hand. It's not the way you do things. And it's specifically to you, Yavama, that we need to teach you this lesson. Because you had the taste of what it's like to spit on someone. A person who has the taste of spitting on people has an enormous yetzer hara to run dirty campaigns, to conquer opponents and opposition. You need to know this lesson. watch out. There's a time and a place for everything. Balance. Balance. You, Torah is coming to do this woman a favor. There's a time in this world where you put people to shame. But be careful. It's a disease. There's a Yetzara. There's a time when you don't go and take down an opponent by grabbing hold of his dirty laundry. Don't run dirty campaigns. If you have nothing to offer, then you're in the wrong business. Specifically to her that had this time. Last var, very short var, along the same exact lines. How many times in the Torah does it say, in the Torah? So the Olam says two times. By Kibir Avoim, what are the four? Kibir Avoim, and by this week's parasha, Shluch HaKan. But there's another part that's explicitly, wait, Even Shleimo V'Tzedek, Tielach, Eifa Tzedek V'Shleimo, Leman Yarichun Yomecha Al Hoadam. What's the pshat? Three times. The fourth time? Mary, you said the fourth time? There's a fourth time? Leman Yarichun Yomecha? So I want, there are three times. Kibir Avoim, Shluch HaKan, and Even Shleimo V'Tzedek. What's the pshat? The answer is, Kibir Avoim is where children give honor to their parents. Shiluach HaKan is Lesika Choeim Alabonim, Shaleach Tishlaches Choeim. This is torture. You send away a mother from her children, and then when the mother comes back, her children are gone. You're mamish torturing. You're torturing the mother. This is mamish, the complete opposite of Kibir Avoim. Now, this is for birds, this is not for human beings. A child has a duty to honor his parents. Here, you have a child and a mother, and you're literally torturing the mother. You're taking away the children. The mother comes back, where are my children? This is the ultimate torture. Are we chasyamin? Shnei kisuvim hamachishim ze eze. At sheyavoy hakosav hashlishi v'yachriya b'neihem. Even shleimo v'tzedek tielach. Eifo shleimo v'tzedek. L'man yarichun yomecha al hodam asher ha'shem yachun nosin loch. What awaits? Weights, fairness. If the weights are corrupt, it's good for one person and not good for the buyer, the seller, the buyer. Balance. There is a time and place for everything. There is a time where there is kavod is warranted. And yet, without our understanding, Torah tells you when it comes to Shluch HaKan, you're basically torturing a mother. That's what you're torturing the mother. You're sending her away from her children at great tsar, and then the ultimate tsar, when she comes back and her children are gone, she goes crazy, the Medrash says. Even Shleimo V'Tzedek. By the way, the word Even is a composite of Av and Ben. Three letters, Aleph Beis is Av, and the last two letters, Beis Nun. There has to be Shleimo V'Tzedek, which is an expression which means it's not one size fits all. There has to be what is Tzedek, what is correct. Sometimes it's correct to be kind, and sometimes it is correct to be cruel. All depends on the situation and the matzav. Although in the Torah we find, when it comes to human beings, parents, and when it comes to birds, it's just the opposite, and there must be some homiletic lessening in that. Everything has to be balanced in terms of shleimus, the big picture, and tzedek, and what is correct in that particular instance. That's the peshara to understand the contradiction of leman yarichun yomechu leman yitavlach. Thank you for listening. Have a good Shabbos. All the best.